Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to CLNS Radio, your source for all things basketball.
You cannot stop this guy. This guy is unbelievable right now. And with the way he's playing, he's played an outstanding brand of basketball. You're trying to tell me he's not the next best thing? What are you hearing?
Man, all I know is this guy can ball. And if you can come out and play with him, you can play with anybody in the league.
I want your opinion. Call into the show.
Why don't you drive the rack?
Seriously, why don't people drive the rack more often?
I'm fed up with this cookie-cutter brand of basketball. Now go out and hand-check.
What are you comparing? The guy's got grit. The guy's got moxie, and the guy's got heart. What more do you want?
Ambition. He did a dream that was harder to live.
Broadcast through Blog Talk Radio and CLNS Radio.
They going at me for my ambition.
Welcome to the Hooper's Log.
He did a dream that was harder to live.
Here's your host, Simo Buckley.
They going at me for my ambition.
Welcome on into episode 136 of the Hooper's Log, and it is officially Steph Curry Day. Everything Steph Curry revolves around Steph Curry and Steph Curry, and I'll just keep saying it's Steph Curry. That's all this day revolves around, and today is a day where I meet the rehab clinic of hating on Steph Curry. It's just a flat out me owning up to my stupidity, but more of my capabilities of knocking on the guy Steph Curry over the last year. And let me just be honest, this is a show where basically we're gonna talk about the great performance that Stephen Curry put on last night in the world of the NBA playoffs, game four between the Warriors and Blazers. It was a masterpiece from the standpoint of a legendary folktale that everyone will remember years from now. Statistically, not the statistics wouldn't say so, but from the standpoint of what he did, it will go down in folklore as one of the greatest I'm kind of co-doing two things at once right now. The Thunder and Spurs are about to tip it off, and I am going to get off the air as soon as I can to go tune into that one. Again, I don't know where Andrew Norris is at. Trying to get him on the show somehow, some way. Trying to get him in here to talk about these games from last night. I don't know where he's been. I haven't talked to him. I've been trying to talk to him lately. I don't know. Hopefully he gets in here and we can talk about the greatness of one Steph Curry. More news for him, not just on the basketball court, but off the basketball court from what he did this year. And a lot to get to. Not just the Golden State Warrior game not the Golden State and Portland Trailblazers game last night, but it was just two unbelievable games last night in the NBA, and obviously one that we'll remember probably forever as one of the greatest performances in NBA history from one Steph Curry. Once Andrew gets in here, hopefully he does. If not, well, we'll just move on without him. If he does, then we'll get him here. So with that being said, we got about 30-minute show, 25, 30-minute show today. Let's kick it off. Kevin Hart, let's get started.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
All we're going to do today is recap games, get you into your comfort zone of what happened last night, and then we'll get you on out of here. Obviously, we'll talk about the MVP voting and that nature that we have today. Obviously, we're going to give praise to one Steph Curry, which is what this show is all about. Episode 136 on CLNS Radio. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1558. Last night in the NBA, there was one great game between the Warriors and Trailblazers. Again, I'm watching simultaneously and doing a show between what's going on there in San Antonio. I am nervous as all heck for this game. I'm not going to talk about it too much. Obviously, I want people to watch the game and enjoy it. But last night, the Heat beat the Raptors 94-87. Look, this was Dwayne Wade again showing up and just willing his team to a victory. 30 points, 4 rebounds, couple assists. Dwayne Wade really is just putting this team on his back, tying the series 2-2, getting the Heat to a 2-2 tie, and allowing for this team to get themselves into a Eastern Conference berth to have one of the greatest television things we'll ever see with the Raptors and Heat. The Raptors and Heat playing the way they have, but to see the Cavs and Heat would be one great Eastern Conference television show if both those teams were to meet up. And the Heat have a chance. They're now 2 games away from doing so, but it is tied 2-2. Pivotal game 5 on Wednesday tomorrow, as those two teams will duke it out. It'll be one of the best games, I think, of the playoffs, as all these games so far for the Raptors and Heat have been unbelievable. 3 of the 4 have gone to overtime. It's been flat out amazing. The game last night, though, that everyone wants to talk about is the Warriors and Trailblazers. And look, I said it on social media. Steph Curry did not look good in the first half. He looked horrible. I mean, he did. He just flat out did. He had 11 points, 13 points, I believe, 11 points at the half. The Warriors played outstanding in the second quarter, but that was not to the credit of Golden State and Steph Curry. It was the team. The team played well. The team played outstanding in the second quarter. But in the third, and especially in the fourth and overtime, you saw Steph Curry turn it on. The third quarter, he still looked really rusty and did not look himself. And then obviously in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, we saw Steph Curry really turn it on. And, you know, as much as I knock on Steph for very minor things and talk about how, you know, he takes poor quality shots and whatnot, you know, I'm starting to just recognize that maybe I'm the one with the problems. You know, maybe I'm the one that doesn't know basketball. Maybe I'm the one that doesn't see, you know, the poor quality shots and the effect that he has on players throughout the league and their poor quality of shots. Now, it's not just Steph Curry last some horrendously quality shots. You had guys like C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard take those shots as well. Overall, though, from an entertainment perspective, that game was unbelievable. But Steph Curry was the story. I mean, 17 points in overtime, the most points in an overtime period in NBA history. There's really not – you can't really throw shade at that. I mean, 40 points after an 11-point first half where he did not shoot well from the field, people. I mean, everyone thinks that 40-point was an easy 40-point. He got all of his points in the fourth and in overtime, realistically. I mean, yeah, he got 11. He definitely chipped away at points in the game. But, I mean, if you think Steph Curry was the guy who came in and just shot the lights out, I mean, he shot 50% from the field. He definitely turned it around after the first half, but he still shot 5 of 16 from 3. Still not efficient. Just, I'm sorry. Like, there was a point in time where Steph Curry, you know, heading into the fourth, I think he was like 2 of 11 or something. And then he hit four of his last 5 threes. But he was not playing well at all from distance. And there was a couple of times where he shot the ball from distance late in the game where I was like, again, this isn't what you want to do if you want to win this game. And he just kept, you know, but that's, again, if we're going to accept that as the new norm in the NBA where you're going to take a 30-foot three-pointer, a minute to go down 2, you know, 50 seconds left in the ball game, 17 seconds in the shot clock as you're walking up the court, you're just going to huck it. If we're going to count that as good basketball, then we might as well just start playing beer pong and call that a sport. I mean, seriously, I'm not joking. Like, I mean, I love, don't get me wrong. This performance by Steph Curry was unbelievable in overtime, but that's what it was. If I don't know what basketball is anymore, then please tell me that coming down the court, just hucking up a three-pointer, no matter how open you are from 30 feet away, is now the new norm of the NBA. I mean, please change the rules to make it more appealing. Really? I mean, and the other thing, too, about this game last night, if you didn't watch it, you know, in the second quarter, was the Hakka team. You know, the Warriors were getting hacked by, Andrew Bogut was getting hacked. Festus Ezeli was getting hacked in 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Obviously, Sean Livingston getting ejected in the second quarter. This was just overall, from an entertainment perspective, an unbelievable basketball game. From, you know, an X's and O's, fundamental perspective, whole different scenario. But I guess we should just stop talking about fundamentals when it comes to the NBA and just talk about, you know, how great these chucking shots from 30 feet away look. I guess we should just start doing that, right? I mean, it only proves, you know, I mean, after today – after today, it's almost like it's you almost can't talk any crap about anything Steph Curry does anymore after today. It's almost like you can't critique anybody anymore, what they do from beyond the perimeter. It is. It's almost like everything anyone does beyond the perimeter, you can't critique it because it's like it's transcendent. I guess it's – I'm really not trying to sit here and tell you that I don't like Steph Curry. It's more of just his style of play, man. Look, and maybe it's because I'm older. Maybe it's because I'm 25. I'm not a baby on Twitter where I've actually watched a lot of basketball. And again, last night's performance, top 10 all time. I'm not going to deny that. It was top 10, maybe top 5. It was unbelievable. Steph Curry's performance was incredible. I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized. I was in awe. It was insane. It was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. But from the same perspective, and it wasn't just Steph Curry. Again, C.J. McCollum. You got guys like Damian Lillard. Three of the main guys in this game were jacking up shots that were just from angles on the court that, I mean, were unbelievable. But the only reason they were unbelievable is because they were going in. I mean, and the thing is this is becoming the new norm in the NBA. This isn't just Steph Curry anymore. It's turning into the whole league. And, you know, if after today, you know, Steph Curry winning unanimous MVP, by the way, let's just get into it. The Warriors won last night, 132-125. Steph Curry's game last night, everyone knows about it. Unbelievable. Really was. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but the unanimous MVP is really what I want to get to. And the reason why I say, you know, maybe I need to go to rehab and check myself at the door and say, look, I don't know what basketball is anymore, because this whole year, I joked that Steph Curry was going to be the unanimous MVP because that's what people were whispering in hushed tones. And the problem I have with – there's so many angles to come. I mean, look, there's so many angles to come from when it comes from giving Steph the unanimous MVP. Look, was there a guy any more deserving of getting it? No. Look, he's clear-cut MVP of the league from the standpoint of if we're just gonna give the MVP to the best player on the best team, then and it wasn't just Steph Curry winning the award unanimously, by the way. It was other things that happened with the MVP voting that I have problems with. And it was mentioned a lot by a lot of our guys on the Hooper's Log that are part of us. And a lot of it is very, 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 very head-scratching. And I think the media has lost their rationale on how to vote for the MVP. I think they have. And I think this year it just proves it. And it's not because, again, it's not because Steph won unanimous, although it doesn't help. But when you have Kawhi Leonard finishing second in the MVP, right, look, and I'm a Spurs fan, first of all. You don't know that I'm sitting here co-watching this game and doing a show at the same time. I am beyond nervous. My knees are popping. I'm freaking out watching this Spurs Oklahoma City game. You think I wouldn't after watching five championships, but it just is what it is. I get nervous every playoff year, and when it comes down to the wire like we are tonight in a game, pivotal game five, it's tough. It's tough to watch. It is. I don't care who you are. If your team's won a lot of championships, it's still tough, and you still live and ride and die with your team. But with this whole you know MVP thing, you know, if Curry getting 131 out of 131, then you start really getting into the question of, look, I'm not denying sitting here and saying he didn't deserve the MVP. He did. I don't personally think if you use the word MVP that he's actually even the most valuable player on his team. When you say valuable, like people have said all along throughout the media, which I'm so grateful they finally are, you know, most outstanding player, yes, Steph Curry, no debate, most outstanding player in the league. They need to make that award come back. Because value – Curry is not massively valuable to his team. Now, last night, obviously, that was just unbelievable and legendary. It was, and it sounds counterproductive to not say that Steph Curry isn't valuable after a performance like last night. But that was just one example. And when you watch this entire Warriors team, it's a lot like the argument for Kawhi Leonard. And what's fascinating is when Steph wins the MVP unanimously, but Kawhi Leonard gets second place, you sit there and you're like, these are two players that are great. First of all, they're great. They're great. They're great players right now in the league. They're superstars, but they're not – they don't have – like, there's something missing with both of them from the standpoint of dominance, from the standpoint of legendary status, from the standpoint of – would they really be this great 10, 15 years ago with guys like Shaq
Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. You know, you ride through the league with guys who are individual superstars, you know, with the way they were. And you look at these guys and you think, is Kawhi really the second best player in the league from MVP perspective? As a Spurs fan, look, don't get me wrong. He's been a big part of what we've done in San Antonio. He's been a big, big, big reason why we've been successful. But if you took Kawhi off the Spurs, I still think we're a 60-win ball club. If you took Steph Curry off the Warriors, they're still a 60-win ball club. Now, are both teams championship contenders? That's up for debate. I think it becomes more of a four-team collision course with if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, a Clippers, Thunder, Spurs, Warriors. I think it becomes way more level playing field. But at the same time, you know, if you took them off, those are still top two teams in the West. So it kind of comes down to look, and if you disagree with me, go listen to a guy like Colin Cowherd. And again, I bash Colin a lot on this show in particular, you know, and for reasons that he brings up, it's mostly college basketball where I disagree with him. But when it comes to the NBA, he's been spot on as of late. And today he talked about how a guy like Steph Curry, you know, he's an MVP based upon the rationale that he's kind of like the candy aisle in the grocery store. You know, you go there, you know, maybe once in a while and it's amazing. Like it's candy in the oh my God. Like if you found like my personal favorite candy, like for example, like when I was younger was Three Musketeers. I don't really have a favorite candy now. I'm not a candy fiend, but if I were to give you my favorite candy as a kid, it was Three Musketeers. And if I saw Three Musketeers now as an adult and I saw it, I was like, oh, it's my jam. Heck yeah, that's the dude. Big deal. But then, you know, over time you're like, I don't really need that. You know, the rest of the grocery store is pretty good. It's still a 5-star grocery store. It's still great. You know, or, you know, for example, another example he brought up in his show today, Colin Cowherd did, was he brought up how, you know, in the NBA, in life, you know, who's more important, the guys who build the bridges or the guys who, you know, create the stock market or create the, you know, the opportunity for the, you know, guys who promote and amplify things, you know, basically catalysts for our society. Are the ground workers more important or are the catalysts more important? And, you know, when your ground workers are pretty dang good and there's a certain guys who work those ground workers, they're the real MVPs. Look, my supervisor at my last job that I just had is an MVP of our organization. Is he the most talented, the smartest, the best at what he does? Probably not. But from a leadership perspective, from a value perspective, he is the most valuable. But it would be like giving, you know, look, and I don't want to sound selfish, but it would be like giving me the MVP because I'm the one who closes down the building. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm really fast at my job, and I wouldn't call my supervisor at my last job the fastest at his job, but without him, that place doesn't work. It doesn't run. It goes to show you kind of places I've worked at in the past, but it's true. Without him, the place would shut down, and I would be non-existent. It's kind of the same thing with the argument with Draymond Green, with the Golden State Warriors, and Steph Curry. If Steph Curry left, if I left, look, if I'm just comparing myself to Steph Curry when it comes to my job and what I did at my last job. I have a new job now, but and the reason why I left was for whole different reasons. But I'm just saying I was kind of like Steph Curry. You know, I was very important, great at what I did. You know, definitely could have gotten better and been more impactful from the standpoint of sacrificing for the team or whatever. You know, but the point is I could have been, you know, being replaced would have been very difficult. You know, and I knew that when leaving my job because I wasn't getting paid enough. It's just flat out wasn't getting paid enough. But, you know, overall, from that perspective, my guy doesn't get award. It would be like me getting all the praise. You know, it would be like me getting all the praise like Steph Curry does. Yet Draymond Green last night, no one's talking about his 7 blocks, his, you know, 28 points, I mean, look at this stat line. Draymond Green, 44 minutes, 5-9 from the field, 9-10 from free throw line, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, 7 steals. That guy made the engine work. He played the whole game. I mean, he dang near played the entire game. And people are talking about Steph Curry's, you know, 20, 25 minutes of work. When, yes, he shut down the game, but at the end of the day, Draymond Green was the one who kept the team alive. If they don't have Draymond Green, Steph Curry's story becomes irrelevant. I mean, it's just that simple. And that's the thing that I think people are misconstruing in the media when it comes to value. Look, if Kawhi Leonard is not a part of the San Antonio Spurs and if he's on the Trailblazers, I think he's just a part of a good system. You know, if you take off Kawhi Leonard and you switch him with LeBron James and you put LeBron James on the San Antonio Spurs, you put Kawhi Leonard in Cleveland, I think he's just kind of another player. Is he great? Is he a great defender? Is he a top five small forward in the league? Absolutely. But at the same time, I mean, when you start talking about overall impact and his ability to become that valuable on the team, he's valuable, but he's not most valuable. As a Spurs fan, there is no most valuable on our team. You got Tony Parker. LaMarcus Aldridge, this playoffs has been ridiculous. Kawhi Leonard has been unbelievable, but he's not irreplaceable. I mean, all Kawhi Leonard to me, honestly, is a souped-up Bruce Bowen. That's what it feels like. That's what Kawhi Leonard feels like to me, a souped-up Bruce Bowen, which is true. He's a great defender. He can play. He can shoot from the outside. Great. Really improved his game offensively, but he's not the second-best player in the league. And LeBron got third place. A lot of fourth-place votes. Disappointing. And also, Russell Westbrook had more votes than Kevin Durant, which is really odd to me because a lot of people talk about how Kevin Durant's super important to that team, yet he's the one who's not getting the MVP votes. I don't know what the media was voting on this year when it came to the MVP. I don't know the basis on MVP. I mean, obviously, Steph Curry, best player in the league, no doubt, this year from the standpoint of just how what he did was incredible. You know, one of our guys, Calvin, another one of our writers on thehooperslog.com, brought up a great point, you know, we're so blessed this decade to have seen three of the greatest seasons in NBA history in LeBron James in 2012-13, Kevin Durant the very next year in 13-14, and then Steph Curry this season. We've seen some of the greatest MVP seasons of all time. And the unfortunate part is now the media, when it comes to voting on other guys, they don't know who necessarily they're voting for. Look, Kawhi Leonard is great, but as a Spurs fan, I can tell you right now, if we didn't have him, we would still be very, very good in a championship-worthy team. I mean, who's to say that we wouldn't get LaMarcus Aldridge already? Who's to say we wouldn't have had a different guy in Kawhi's place? I'm not trying to sit here and say he's irreplaceable, but considering how successful this organization's been the last 20 years, Kawhi doesn't make the engine run all the way. Is he a part of our big three? Absolutely. Right now, the big three in San Antonio is Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard, and LaMarcus Aldridge. That's our big three now. But is Kawhi the best of those big three? I think he's just as equally valuable as a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think it comes down to that. It's the same thing with Steph Curry in Golden State from the standpoint of value. From the standpoint of what he did this season, absolutely no debate, one of the greatest seasons you've ever seen. You know, and it's just hard for me to grasp my mind around people making statements like today, you know, top 10 point guard of all time. Look, I mean, it's a real debate. I'm not going to sit here and just brush it off like I've done in the past with people. Look, the first unanimous MVP in league history. And here's the thing that bothers me about him being unanimous, by the way. And I hope to God that this starts a precedent in the NBA, that whenever down the road we have a guy who should be unanimous, this is what I hope from this, that he better get unanimous. Because if he doesn't, and it's because of media scrutiny and their disdain and dislike for a guy when he's clearly the best player in the league, like I just mentioned, LeBron from 2012-2013 should have been unanimous. The guy who voted for Carmelo Anthony, a complete moron and should lose his media credentials. Kevin Durant should have been unanimous MVP in 2013-2014. He was unbelievable. Didn't get it. Got a guy like Shaq in 2000, one vote away. Who the hell voted for Allen Iverson in 2000 and missed that? Allen Iverson missed it by one as well the very next year when he was clearly – it wasn't even a discussion who else was MVP and some knucklehead. In the non media sports world that we live today, voted down Allen Iverson one vote. Are you high? Like, are you out of your – and then MJ multiple times was not unanimous MVP. Who the heck – look, looking back on it, who the heck else would have been MVP? I can guarantee you 10 years from now when we look at this unanimous MVP category for Steph Curry, we're going to sit there and say, yeah, no one else really deserved it. We will. We're all going to say that from the standpoint of the best player in the league. Yeah, no one's going to debate this. This is undebatable. Look, from the standpoint of him being the best player in the league, yes, he is this year. Is he the best player in the league from the standpoint of talent? No. You're out of your high. If you think Steph Curry, talent-wise, is the best player in the league, you need to stop watching basketball and stop talking about it on a big scale. You don't know what you're talking about. Kevin Durant and LeBron James are still way better than Steph Curry. Way better than Steph Curry from the standpoint of talent. Now, from the standpoint of obviously, you know, production and getting the most out of your body, yes, Steph Curry's right there. But when it comes to overall talent and capability, size, speed, physicals, you know, no, Steph Curry can't touch KD or LeBron at all. At all. None. None yet. There's no way. But when it comes to 1 year and what he did, yes, no debate. This is a unanimous MVP. I don't think anyone will debate that. It's the precedent before and the precedent after it better set. Because if he, 20 years from now, if Ben Simmons, for example, comes into the league, you know, in his prime 5, 6, 7 years from now, if he dominates like LeBron did in 2012, 2013, in the year 2027 2027 or 2025 or something, And he dominates like LeBron and is as efficient, as dominant, leads his team to a championship like that, and doesn't get unanimous MVP because some knucklehead in New York or Arkansas or Counta Vista or somewhere in bum blank, you know, California doesn't like him because they don't agree with his tattoo choice on his left arm or for whatever God's sake reason, and he's not unanimous MVP – then clearly we're going to look at Steph Curry as the most overrated player of all time. It's just, look, you can't be the only unanimous MVP ever. You can't be. It's just that simple. And it's not because I don't like Steph. It's just because of that fact. MJ, five or six MVPs. I know he had six MVP finals. You know, Magic Johnson in the 80s. How did he not have a unanimous MVP? How come sports like, you know, like the NHL or I think the MLB they were mentioning earlier had, or NFL, excuse me, had guys with unanimous MVPs, you know, but the NBA finally gets its first, but it's for a small little dinky point guard who, if played back 20 years ago and the hand check was in play, wouldn't do anything. It's just the facts. It's not to knock Steph Curry. It's to knock the system, really. Look, and unanimous MVP, is he deserve it? Yes. But previous years, the guys I mentioned, Shaq, AI, LeBron, MJ, not getting at least one unanimous MVP from one of those guys, at least for Shaq's sake, LeBron's, MJ, not one unanimous MVP because guys had agendas and decided not to, but for some reason they agree with Steph because he's Disney. Literally, I'm going to just start calling Steph Curry Disneyland because that's what he is. No one throws shade at him. No one. No one can find a flaw with him. I have mentioned multiple times throughout the season flaws that Steph Curry has. There's no such thing as a perfect player. Steph Curry is not a perfect player. What I've mentioned multiple times throughout the year from the standpoint of his unanimous MVP is that he takes shots that are completely ridiculous. And if it was any other guy other than the number with the Golden State patch on the front of his chest and the name Curry on the back of his name, you know, his last name on the back of his jersey, who was taking those shots, he would get benched. If someone did that in high school, what Steph Curry did in the first 5 minutes of a ball game, they'd get benched. It's that simple. Steph Curry flows away from what the game should be. He does. And I'm not trying to sit here and say the game should be this. The game should be that. He's transcendent. Steph Curry is a transcendent superstar. You're not going to hear me knock him and not say he's not a transcendent superstar. But now you got people starting to say that he's a top five point guard all time. You got ESPN thinking that he's a top five point guard all time, and he only has one championship. Can you imagine? Okay, can you imagine if Magic Johnson played in this era? After, you know, let's just say someone else came along, and they weren't called Magic Johnson, but they did kind of the same thing Magic Johnson did. But can you imagine if a guy came in at the age of 19 and or 20 or however old Magic was, the year he won the championship as a rookie and played center and did what he did? Can you imagine the explosion on social media? People would name him the greatest player of all time instantly. That's just that's just kind of the society we live in today. People just automatically anoint these guys unbelievable players. And I got people on social media sitting here telling me after a year and a half, almost 2 years, and this season's not even over, and I have people sitting here telling me that Steph Curry is already a better legacy than guys like Tony Parker, Oscar Robertson, John Stockton. Are you high? What kind of drugs are your parents giving you? What kind of drugs are you – what are you taking? Where do you go to school? Where is your education? What are you doing? Steph Curry has had two of the greatest seasons in NBA history back-to-back. No one will debate that. But to say that his legacy in his first 7 or 8 years of his career match up to guys like John Stockton, Tony Parker, Jason Kidd – you know, Magic Johnson, Oscar Robertson. You go through the list of top 10 point guards, it gets pretty easy. He's not a top 10 point guard yet. Now. If he does this again next year, then it's kind of a different story. Look, if he wins 3 years back to, you know, triple back-to-back MVP, if we're sitting here a year from today, May 10th, 2016, on May 10th, 2017, and Steph Curry has made 405 threes, and his team has won 70 again, breaking the record again or not, there's no debate he's top 10, maybe even top 5. And look, that's not a debate at that point, because then it's – look, if he wins the championship this year, he will be the best player on the best team of all time. And that's two championships back-to-back, two MVPs back-to-back. If he wins the finals MVP this year, which I'm pretty sure he will no matter what he does, even if he does break – if Steph Curry pulled a Kyrie Irving in game one and hurt himself after game one and the Warriors still won the championship, I'm pretty sure they'd still give Steph Curry the MVP of the finals even though he only played one game. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes these days. We just kind of give people things when they don't deserve it. I'm just saying, you know, from that perspective. But – If they win a championship this year and Steph Curry is the legitimate MVP where he goes off and does, you know, 35 points in the finals, shuts it down and dominates, and then comes out the next year, does the exact same kind of thing and shoots an enormous amount of threes, makes them, is efficient, is incredible, does exactly this again and wins the title again next year, I will have no problem placing him in the top 10, and then the debate comes down to, is this the greatest three-year run in NBA history from an individual player? And then I would have no problem arguing that. And to be 100% honest, he's more than deserving of a unanimous MVP. I just have a problem with the fact that guys in the past, because media members had agendas on certain players and agendas on what they did, they didn't just respect the enormity of players themselves. That's the part I have a problem with. Now, side wedging back to the game from last night, Steph Curry was absolutely incredible. One of the greatest performances we've ever seen in playoff history. It's going to go down in playoff lore as one of the greatest, if not a top five playoff performance ever. I mean, when you think about great playoff performances, you think of LeBron James in 2013 against the Celtics. You think of Magic Johnson in the early 80s when he helped win the title for the Lakers as a rookie. You think back to Tim Duncan, Game 6 of the 2003 NBA Finals when he had a near quadruple double. I mean, you think of things like that and you're like, wow, that's what Steph Curry had last night. It was. But this is the thing that bothers me, and I know something always has to bother me with Steph. Look, it has to, but. Look, if you think that Steph Curry's performance last night was better than LeBron James's 2007 Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Detroit Pistons in Detroit, If you think it was better than that, 29 of the team's final 30 points scored in a double overtime victory where he scored darn near every single point in overtime for that team. And every single shot in the double overtime period was absolutely legendary. Every single basket. Every single basket was legendary. Every single one. Steph Curry last night, look, darn near close, not good enough. From my perspective, from what I've seen, from what I've watched throughout my, you know, I've been watching basketball since I was 8 years old, seven years old. You know, I've been watching it for a long time. And seeing what Steph did, don't get me wrong, my opinion, it's number two all time. It is. It's number two. And the only reason it's not number one is because I remember exactly where I was when I heard what LeBron James did. Because everyone in 2007, everyone thought that the Detroit Pistons and San Antonio Spurs would rematch, not back to back, because remember in 2006 it was Mavs and Heat and LeBron, and that was the year Dwayne Wade won MVP of the finals. It was just absolutely crazy. But the year before that it was Spurs and Pistons in 05. But everyone thought it was going to be a rematch in 07. And the only reason there wasn't a rematch was because of that Game 5. That's just what it was. LeBron James in that Game 5 went off for 48 points and scored 29 of the team's final 30 and had to go to two overtimes on the road against, at the time, look, think of the Detroit Pistons. If you're under the age of like 10 and you're listening to this show, think of the Detroit Pistons in 2007 as today's version of the – what would be a good example – as today's version of the San Antonio Spurs. Look, great, great team, unbelievable team, what they do. They're not the best team in the league, but they're like they're scratching shoulders with the best teams in the league. And remember, the Spurs back then were so deep and gifted as a team. It was absolutely outrageous. I mean, it was just outrageous. That 07 team, in my opinion, it's a coin toss between that team and the 2014 team. That team was so ridiculously deep. Look, people, George Hill was a baby on that team, and now he starts for the Pacers, and he's in a very effective player. Beno Udrè is a backup on the Grizzlies. People forget Beno Udrè in 07 was stupid. I mean, that was one of the deepest, and Tony Parker won the MVP of the finals that year because Tony Parker was legitimately, in my opinion, the best point guard in the league that year. That year. Now, was he better than Nash? No. Nash won MVP, but Tony Parker was right there. I mean, it was Nash and Parker. It was neck and neck. Those were the two guys, flat out. And Tony Parker was absolutely, unquestionably unbelievable in that NBA Finals. But when you look at that performance by LeBron James and where the Pistons had been, what they were doing as an organization, it was almost clear-cut that they were going to get to the NBA Finals. And I can pretty much guarantee you Chris Webber, he was there. He was in that game for the Pistons in 07, and he saw what happened. I mean, LeBron's shots were – go watch the highlights. Just go to YouTube. Just check it out on YouTube. I mean, they were so – unbelievably contested. He was being triple teamed. Guys were trying to stop him attacking the basket. They couldn't do it. LeBron was ninja. You talk about Ninja Turtle backpack. LeBron James took his team to a level that I don't think we'll ever see again. I really don't. And when you watch that game, like the thing was like Curry did this in one overtime. Look, and it was unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. Curry had the highest scoring overtime in NBA history. Playoff overtime history. I'll never deny that. And I'll never deny that this was unbelievable what Curry did. It was. But when you start comparing greatest performance in overtime history, you can't just dismiss the fact that LeBron James put the entire franchise on his back in the final. I think it was like six minutes of regulation all the way through the double overtimes, and he just flat out carried that. Let me remind you, LeBron wasn't 28. Steph Curry's 28 years old. LeBron was 22 years old, his fourth year in the league, third year in the league. It was flat out stupid. It was the dumbest thing. And you know where I was when that happened? I was at a Mariner game, hanging out with some friends, and I got in the car and I said, "Turn on the radio. I don't know what happened." Because back then, in 07, in the hot tub time machine about 9 years ago, there was no Twitter. Twitter hadn't been invented yet. Facebook was in baby form. I mean, no one knew what Facebook was hot or not, you know. And then you had MySpace. MySpace was the big thing back in 07. Yeah, we're talking about MySpace back in the day. No one had phones like we do now. No one had phones like we do now in 07. No one did. So the best way to get your information, YouTube had just started. Like, YouTube had just begun. Like, it was just getting big. And they had a whole bunch of, you know, piracy things going on, so you couldn't really watch highlights and whatnot. But you look at what – and we turned on the sports talk radio, and they said LeBron James had done one of the craziest things. And I didn't believe it, because I was like – I wasn't a biggest LeBron James fan at the time. But then they said LeBron James scored 29 of his team's final 30 points in a double overtime victory to take a 3-1 lead in the series. Or, excuse me, I believe it was a 3-2 lead in the series and shut down the series to go to the NBA Finals. You can't talk after that. Like, nothing. Just like last night. You can't talk. But that is stuff that people, when they talk about greatness, LeBron James' game in 07, and if you watched it or if you at least heard about it or saw the highlights, you could not stop rewatching those highlights because you could not believe it. Because everyone – look, going into that game too, everyone thought that everyone thought that it was going to be Detroit-San Antonio and that game five in Detroit – In Auburn Hills, the really, really, really hard place to play, it was locked up that the Pistons would win Game 5, and if they didn't win Game 6, they were gonna win Game 7 and go to the NBA Finals, and it was gonna be another classic between the Pistons and Spurs. But LeBron James and the narrative found a way to absolutely annihilate the Detroit Pistons and knocked them off their game. It was one of the craziest things I mean ever seen. And just like last night, one of the craziest things I've ever seen. But, you know, you got to give Steph his props. It was definitely top two, in my opinion, top two performances of all time. From the narrative too, you know, look, you got to look at all the perspectives. Sean Livingston got ejected. Steph was on a minutes restrictions after being out for 2 weeks. Then he turned it on in the fourth and overtime, and it was just legendary from there. I was buzzing. My brain was buzzing last night. I couldn't sleep. It was so crazy. Like, and it's not because I hate Curry. It was so hard to watch. It was just unbelievable. It was just flat out unbelievable what Steph did last night. And for that, I give him praise. I give him all the praise for that game last night. And then him getting the unanimous MVP today made me more bothered. Not for him getting the unanimous MVP, but from the standpoint of how the system is working and how other guys didn't get unanimous MVP from the past. So it's just... it's just the way it is in the sports world these days. It's frustrating, but, you know, hey, kudos to Stephen Curry, best player in the league from the standpoint of this year. This 2015-2016 year is the year of Steph Curry. And if they win the title, you talk about the greatest team of all time, this guy was the best player on the best team of all time. That's the episode today. No Andrew Norris in on episode 136. We got about a minute left on the show. I got to go watch this Spurs game right now. It is just an absolute battle right now. And Kawhi Leonard just took it coast to coast. And the Spurs are now down, I believe, what looks like 3 minutes left. They're down three with about 7 minutes left in the ball game. Kawhi's got the ball in the corner, and he missed 3 points. So, yeah, okay, we got about 90 seconds, a minute left in the show. I'm going to get out of here, obviously. Episode 136 is in the books. We'll talk about this game tomorrow between Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Who knows what I'll be feeling like? It's going to be unbelievable. This game, I am more than nervous for, and I'm going to go turn on my TV and tune into what's going on in the playoffs. Again, episode 136 in the books. Episode 137 tomorrow, same time, same place, on a Wednesday, a hump day Wednesday. Thank you again for listening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your night, and please watch this game. It's just going to be absolutely incredible. I can't wait for the first-team All-NBA, second-team All-NBA, and third-team All-NBA and see how the media can screw it up again. Thank you again for listening, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the games tonight. Have a good one.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.